Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
It is Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth in studio this evening as the Predators take down the Tampa Bay Lightning twice last week in preseason action after dropping both games of their preseason doubleheader opener against the Florida Panthers. Last weekend, they respond with a couple of victories against the Lightning where they score six goals each. So that is a nice thing to see for the Nashville Predators as they get closer and closer to the start of regular season action, which is 10 days away from today against the Seattle Kraken at Bridgestone Arena. Joining me this hour to talk all things Nashville Predators and NHL is Hal Gill, the radio analyst for the Nashville Predators, alongside Pete Weber. All the action that you can hear right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Skillsy, how we doing this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Talk a little Preds.
Yeah.
It's getting exciting around here.
Well, I mean, we actually have a preseason. The season is actually starting right now and not ending like it did at this time last year, which is just crazy to think about. You know, 12 months ago in a week, you know, a season was ending in the bubble, and we've already had another season end before now. So it's the crazy times that we live in, but things are starting to feel a little bit normal, and that includes some preseason action. And Hal, you were down in Tampa Thursday night on the call with Pete Weber when they beat the Lightning 6-2, and then they turn around, play again here at Bridgestone Arena Saturday night and win 6-1. So a couple of impressive showings from the Nashville Predators, albeit preseason, but this is what you want to see from the guys before regular season, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was kind of funny. We were down at practice yesterday and being around the guys, winning is fun, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're playing against a depleted roster for Tampa or you're going against the best team, you know, you want to go out there, compete and win. And so they've played well. I think they've shown some good things as a team. I think they look really good. So it's something I've been pleasantly surprised with.
So between the preseason doubleheader and Saturday night's performance for specifically Philip Tomasino. Tomasino gets in the goal column Saturday night with a goal there in the third period, a nice kind of give and go on a 2-on-0 between him and Alexander Carrier. What have you liked from Tomasino? I know a lot of fans have a microscope on this kid because he's that up-and-coming rookie that everyone's looking forward to. What have you liked out of Tomasino so far in preseason?
Yeah, the first game I saw him, he was trying to force it too much, trying to do a little bit, you know, he's on the half wall, and instead of just pulling the trigger and shooting, he's trying to pull drag to the middle. And, you know, I think that's part of the hard part for a younger player with big expectations is you want to light the lamp, you want to make something fancy happen, and sometimes you just got to let the game come to you. And so I think he struggled with that a little bit in his first game, and it's starting to come around. The good part for him is he's got a longer leash. I think he's going to get a chance to show what he's got. And really, it's going to matter when it's against the bigger players. The more elite of the NHL start to trickle into the lineups, the more you go. You know, you look at Carolina tomorrow, you'd expect them to have a pretty good lineup that you're playing against. So maybe that's a better test of what he's got. Because then he's not going to be trying to do too much. He's going to realize, like, okay, this is NHL hockey. I got to keep it simple and play my game. And so I'm excited. There's a few guys in that boat that I really want to see how they do against the better competition in the league. I think there's a lot of guys that are trying to get through this level, you know, and it's hard as a younger player. You're playing against guys that you played before, and you're not playing against Victor Hedman and Stamkos and Kucherov. You're not playing against those guys. And so you need to get through those levels before you get to the big guns. And so I think the fun stuff is coming up, and that's when Tomasino is really going to be tested. And that's when we can really get a gauge on what he is and where he's at in his development.
Given that, though, would you be surprised if Tomasino didn't have a chance starting opening night to have not only be on the roster, but have a prominent role offensively with this club?
Yeah, I would be surprised. But, hey, I've been through a lot of camps on both sides, like watching and also playing. And that's what camp is all about, is surprises. You know, like this is their first time to look at a guy who's put in a lot of work in the offseason, or some guys that maybe didn't put the work in the offseason. And now it's go time, and there's big changes. You can really tool your game. If you work on it in the offseason, it can show up and you can surprise some people. So Afanasyev has surprised me. I think he's a guy that has gone out and done some pretty awesome things. So I'm anxious to see how he gets there. And maybe that decides where Tomasino is. And you look down the whole lineup, you've had players that have done some things that the coaches are probably pretty happy about. So, I would be surprised if he didn't get a shot at opening lineup, but he's got to do it. He's got to prove that he belongs there. You don't just get handed to you. Those days are kind of over. Even for a first rounder, you're going to get your looks, but you're not going to get it handed to you.
You brought up Igor Afanasyev, and he did not play Saturday night for the Nashville Predators, but he did play last Thursday night, and he scored two goals. I mean, is he kind of forcing his way into the discussion in that coach's room of whether or not he'll be on the opening night roster?
Just by scoring two goals, I think, and the goals that he scored, I think you can't just look away from it and pretend like it didn't happen.
Sure.
He also crushed two posts. I mean, he was dialed in and firing the puck pretty with some pretty good accuracy. So, I think the coaches, you have to look at them. Yeah, take in consideration, there's a lot more to the game than just scoring goals. But in the end, everyone loves a goal scorer. And if you can go out and score goals and do it consistently, then you can overlook a lot of deficiencies in your game and still work on it and try to get better at it. But if you're scoring goals, coaches like that and teammates like that. GMs, everyone likes goals. And so with Igor going out there and lighting it up pretty good, I definitely think he turns heads.
Well, especially with that size, because – this Preds team hasn't had a young player come through the pipeline with the kind of size that can wreak havoc in front of an opposing goaltender really since Patrick Hornquist. I mean, it's been a long time since they have groomed their own individual like that, but Afanasyev, whether it's this season or next season when he finally cracks the NHL roster, feel like this is a player that could end up being one of those missing piece kind of players on this roster that they have either had to go out and spend assets for or just simply have not had.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because there's so many guys that have come through and are developing at a different pace. You know, there's some guys that you go, whoa, that kid's ready to go. There's other guys that take their time. You look at Eli Tolvanen, and it's taken some time for him to learn the game. And yeah, he can score goals, but he's got to work on the rest of his game. And, you know, I think he's getting better and better every year. And so he's tracking the right way. And Afanasyev is another kid who's tracking the right way. And that's, to go back to Tomasino, he's got to track the right way. He's got to play the right way, do the right things. In the end, you're going to have to put guys in spots. Like you said, you need a guy like Patrick Hornquist that gets in front of the net. And Yakov Trenin was that guy for a little while in front of the net, and he looked good there. He's got obviously got the size and he's got the hands. So those are guys that you look at and say, hey, can they squeeze in? Can they fill that role that we need? It's not just about who's the best player. It's you need to whittle it down and say, who's the half wall guy on our power play? And maybe it's not our best player. Maybe it's our best half wall player. And that's what the coaches really have to break down and look at and say, how are they all going to mesh together? You know, you don't want just a bunch of goal scorers out there. You know, that sounds great until you have to play in the defensive zone. So a lot to be considered and a lot of young faces that in the end, it's a good problem to have because a lot of guys have impressed.
This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game National App. Ryan Porth alongside Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hal, one other player that I wanted to get to from this early preseason action is Alexander Carrier. He had 2 points Saturday night. He scored the game-opening goal in the first period on Saturday. Also, like we mentioned earlier, had the nice give-and-go with Tomasino on the 2-on-0 on Tomasino's goal. He also had an assist Thursday night, and this is a player that obviously David Poile and John Hines are banking on to have a big season after kind of his welcome to the NHL breakout moment in the second half of last season when he got some valuable ice time alongside either Roman Josi or Mattias Ekholm. Kind of a late bloomer within the Preds system, but how it looks like Carrier has kind of picked up where he left off last year.
Yeah, I was talking with Roman Josi yesterday. I said, this kid's legit, huh? And he said he's been that way for a long time. And even when he got called up for a couple stints, and we didn't really get too many eyeballs on him, he had a couple shifts here and there. Jost was saying he looks good. Like, he was impressed with him then. And now he's gotten his chance. He, you know, with all the injuries that they had last year, he got his opportunity and he stuck around for a while. And I think he opened up everyone's eyes and just the gap that he has, the confidence in his skating, the raw ability that he has to take time and space away defensively, I think makes up for any lack of size that he might have. And then the offensive upside, his ability to join the rush, you know, he had a nice goal in the preseason, another nice assist. You know, he's going to make plays offensively. And I don't think that was a worry ever, but I think he's exceeded expectations on that front. Defensively, he's just solid. You know, it reminds me a lot of the way Ryan Ellis, there's small movements that he makes to get positionally he's responsible positionally with those small movements, and he's able to take away shooting lanes. He's got a great stick, and then he can defend the front of the net. And so all those things add up for a guy that's, you know, is there a spot up with Roman Josi? Is that Dante Fabro's spot? Is Fabro going to come out and have another good year? Like, he kind of fell off a little bit last year. He had some injuries that he overcame, but he's been working hard to get back into that mix. And so that's a pretty good battle for who's going to play with Roman Josi. And hey, I'd love to get in that battle. That's a fun job to have if you can play with Josi every night. Because it does look like Mattias Ekholm and Philip Myers are going to be that big shutdown D pair with their size and a left shot and a right shot. I think that's a layup for John Hines. How is the rest going to play out, and where does everyone slot in?
Well, we'll get to that on the other side, as well as what is the true ceiling for young defensemen like Alexander Carrier and Dante Fabro, like Hal brought up. We'll do a deeper dive into the Predators defense as we get closer and closer to the regular season start for the Nashville Predators. Again, 10 days away from the regular season home opener against the Seattle Kraken here at Bridgestone Arena next Thursday. Can't believe we are already 10 days away from the start of the NHL regular season. At least, well, you know, 8 days away from the league start, but 10 days away from the Preds start. But more on the defense coming up on the other side. He's Hal Gill. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds Insiders rolls right along here on this Monday evening, ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game National App. Ryan Porth joined this evening by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst and former NHL defenseman. And he goes by Skillsy because he was the most skilled defenseman in NHL league history. Hal, speaking of defensemen, we've been talking a lot about Alexander Carrier. You also brought up Dante Fabro, and I do want to get to Fabro here in just a little bit. But Alexander Carrier last year in the second half of the season, I think, surprised a lot of people. You mentioned how Roman Josi has always been impressed by Carrier, but I think Preds fans' expectations for Carrier were pretty low when he got that opportunity last season, and he made the most of that opportunity last year. You know, his numbers aren't going to pop off a stat sheet. He had 3 points in 19 games, but he logged over 20 minutes a night. He was very impressive. He did not look out of place, even in the playoffs, when he got a lot of ice time. But we have seen this before from young defensemen, not only with the Nashville Predators, but around the league, where they get that cup of coffee, they get that opportunity, and early on they impress. But the more the league figures them out and the longer they spend in the league, they're not able to maximize that potential and live up to what you initially thought they were. So for you, Hal, what is the most important thing that Carrier needs to do this season to make sure that he's continuing to take steps in the right direction?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny thing, because in order to get in the NHL, you need a, you know, you either have to have a ton of skill or you need to catch a break. And I think with Carrier, his situation, you know, he had a couple looks, and don't forget, he's playing in the Milwaukee or in the minors, and he's playing 25 minutes, maybe 30 minutes a game. He's their stud down there. They're just relying on him for power play, penalty kill. And so he's playing a lot of minutes, and then you get called up and, you know, you slot in as a 5 or 6 guy, and maybe you play 10 or 12 minutes, and it's a totally different game. You're playing against bigger guys, faster guys, more skilled, and you're only playing 10 minutes. You don't get your legs under you, and it becomes a different game. And I think Carrier's situation, he was called up when, you know, we had some injuries with the Preds, and I remember talking to John Hines, who played Carrier 23 minutes his first game. And I said, how long do you think he can keep it up? And he goes, well, he's been playing that way the whole time in the minors. So it's kind of easy, you know, transition to play that minute. Given their more focused minutes in the NHL, for sure, you can't cut any corners in the NHL because you'll get abused out there. But, you know, I think John Hines just kind of rode him and said, all right, we'll play him as long as he keeps playing the way he is. We'll just keep playing him. So he had some fortune where, with all the injuries there, he was able to play a lot and really impressed. And then when it came down to playoff time, it was just another step in his progression where he was playing a lot of minutes and really kind of won that job and was, I thought, was really solid. One of the brighter spots through the end of the season. He really stepped up when they needed him. And then even when they really didn't need him, he kind of said, well, I should still be here. So good on him. And I think that's, you know, any player that comes in, you're going to have to catch a break. And he got his break and he used it.
So not only with Carrier, but Dante Fabro also, there are a lot of eyeballs on those two young defensemen for the Nashville Predators, because that right side, now that Ryan Ellis is in Philadelphia, the right side of the Predators defense just has a lot of unknowns in terms of NHL experience. So between Carrier and then also Dante Fabro, who's had his ups and downs so far at the NHL level, how important do you think those two are specifically to the Nashville Predators, you know, maximizing their potential, not only as a decor, but as a team, to being within that playoff conversation by season's end?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, you take out Ryan Ellis and there's a lot of people that don't understand what Ryan Ellis brings to the table. You can see when he was out, when he was playing, the game slowed down for everyone. He controls it, kills penalties, has a great shot that he can get through. Like, he was such an efficient player. It doesn't stand out the way Roman Josi does, but he was a great player and a steadying force on the back end. So now you're taking him out. You have a young player in Myers that's on the right side that I think he's going to slot in with Ekholm, and he's going to play against top lines and be big and physical. That leaves a spot with Josi, and it could be Carrier, it could be Fabro. But I do think they're going to get a look. Now, the difference between having Ryan Ellis up there is these are younger players, and if they do fall off a little bit, maybe Carrier gets a look. And if he's not playing the same brand of hockey that he has shown that he plays, well, Fabro gets his chance. And that's the competition that you're looking for. And up on that spot with Josi to keep proving it night in and night out. That's the challenge. And so you could swap those guys out. In the end, you got a really solid group of eight, you know, with Borowiecki, Benning, Harper. These are big bodies that can play a physical style. And so you're going to need them at some point. You're going to need to up the ante. And it's always nice to have Boro go up and be Boro cop and crush some guys and send a message and play that physical brand so that, you know, guys like Yossi and Ekholm aren't taking a beating over and over again. It's nice to have a little pushback, and you have that size with Benning and Harper as well. So I really think it's going to be a work in progress. I think it's a good problem that John Hines has, is how to slot these guys in. But I do think Fabro and Carrier are both going to get pretty good looks as the season goes on. They're going to get their chance. It's just a matter of who can be not only good and strong on the right side, but who can do it consistently. That's the big challenge.
This is Preds Insiders. Ryan Porth and Hal Gill here with you on this Monday evening. Hal, you brought up in the conversation about the defense that you feel like the shutdown pair is going to be Matias Ekholm and Philip Myers. Philip Myers, the defenseman coming over from Philadelphia in the Ryan Ellis trade. And this is a defenseman that, honestly, Hal, when they acquired Philip Myers for Ryan Ellis, this is a player that I didn't know much about. It's not like I sit around watching a lot of Philadelphia Flyers games. You know, he has 115 games of experience. And, you know, just looking at his stat sheet over time in Philadelphia, he kept getting more and more ice time. For you, Hal, early on, it's only preseason and, you know, a few practices so far. But what have you seen from Philip Myers that makes you feel like he and Ekholm can be a shutdown pair?
Yeah, that's – you know, it's a small sample size, but it's enough, you know, 115 games, but it's enough to know what kind of player he is. And so I think he's confident in his game. You know, again, talking to Roman Yossi, I said, what do you think of him? And he said, I haven't seen him. You know, like you said, we had the lockdown. So you're playing against your five teams and you're just beating each other up. And you never really get to see the whole NHL. So we never really got to see Myers play. But it's going to be interesting. And I hate to compare him to me, and I'm sorry, Phil, if I'm throwing it out there, but I could go play shinny hockey and you'd look at me and go, how is that guy ever in the NHL? And when I got into the NHL, I play against the best players. And that's when I stood out. And that's when I was doing my job. It wasn't because I was out playing an exhibition and dishing and making plays. And so I think that's a kind of a similar case for Myers is, you know, you play against that Tampa lineup that doesn't have their big horses out there and maybe it's not his time to shine, but when you get out there and you have, you know, the top lines of every team around the league going at it and you have to face them every night, that's when you're going to notice what Phil Myers is all about is can he be that physical guy? He's got a little snarl to him and he's, you know, it'd be interesting to see how many cross-checking penalties he takes with the new rules, because I think that's part of his game is, you know, it's one thing to be physical. It's another thing to be physical and then add a little jam into it after. And so I think he's got that in his game. And so it'll be interesting once the big guns come out. And I think, you know, like I said, as preseason rolls on, you're going to see more of those lines come out, and that's going to be the real test. So as of now, he looks good. He's obviously big. He's got a great reach. He's got a good stick. He can be physical in front of the net, and he can move up and down the ice. He's a good skater. So I'm excited to see what he can do, not just going out in the preseason, but when it comes down to games really matter, that's when I think he's got to step up and show what he's all about.
You mentioned the cross-checking stuff that the NHL always has something that they're going to crack down on every season, right?
And I know it.
This year, I know it. Their emphasis is cross-checking. So I can only imagine how early on in the regular season, there's going to be cross-checks called that will not be called in game 82 that they're calling early on in the season to get a point across. And I wish there was a video camera on you in the radio booth alongside Pete, because I'm sure there are going to be calls that you are just going to be disgusted by.
You know what? It's funny because cross-checking just kind of slowly became acceptable, and it never really was. And it was in large part because, you know, when I first came in the league, you know, in the late 90s, like it used to be a wrestling match. You go in the corner and yeah, you cross check and you, but usually a cross check meant we're going to fight. The rest of the time it was like a wrestling and there's a lot of hooking and holding. And that was more accepted than cross checking. And so when you take away hooking and holding, guys realize, okay, we can't do that anymore. So let's get back on the cross check. And it just slowly has built in to be more tolerable in the game because of the lack of being able to hook and hold. So now the NHL, you know, they said, okay, we got to crack down on this cross check. It's always been a rule, but now they're going to call it a little tighter. And there's sometimes that I look at it and go, that's so unsafe. When you've got a guy back, face to the boards and his back is right in front of you and you're just cross-checking the heck out of his lower back, that's not safe. And so I'm glad that they're getting rid of that. It'll be interesting to see in the front of the net when, you know, usually it's prison rules in front and anything goes and you take away those cross-checks. It'll be interesting to see how the game changes because it's going to be harder to move guys in front. You know, if you can't cross check, then okay, you put one hand on the stick and now are you holding? You know, if you get your one hand out and you're pushing a guy, is it going to look like a hold? Is the ref going to say a free hand is out and call that? So it's going to be, I really think it's going to be difficult for the referees to manage what is what is using your stick to create space and what is a cross check. Because in front, it's a fine line between moving a guy and cross-checking a guy.
Well, how many times, especially in recent years, have we seen Roman Josi get away with some cross-checks that normally some other defensemen don't get away with? And
just teeing off on guys.
I know. I wonder early in the season how many cross-checking penalties Josi is going to get if he's not careful.
Well, I've always said with Josi, the way he's such a good skater and Ekki, I feel like Mattias Ekholm has played against guys like Connor McDavid so well because the second you lean on a guy and you're cross-checking your guy, he's sensing where you are and he's able to spin off and make a power move. So if you can be a little more deceptive with that cross-check and use your stick and your reach a little bit more, I think Ekholm has done a great job of doing that. I think Jost, being the skater he is, I think he could use that poke check more and he might even be more effective. And so it may be this is a good thing for him because he wants to play physical and hard, but maybe he doesn't need to as much. Maybe he can use his skating and who cares if the guy doesn't get a bruise on his back when you have the puck going down the ice. You want to make players pay the price. But in the end, you really want the puck and you want to get going. So maybe that's a good thing for Jost to be able to back off those cross checks and worry more about getting the puck.
He's Hal Gill. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders. Preds Insiders is brought to you every week by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. We're going to take a moment and look a little bigger picture with this Nashville Predators team. There are a couple contract conversations going on right now between Mattias Ekholm and Philip Forsberg. Also, could lowered expectations in the long run help this team? We'll get to all of that coming up next here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. It's Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth and Hal Gill here with you. And don't forget, 102.5 The Game has your chance to win Preds tickets during the month of October. Starting today, you can just post a picture of your radio dial set to 102.5 The Game on social media. That includes our Twitter page, Facebook page, Instagram, all that. Tag the game. Use the hashtag #TicketDash to be instantly qualified to win. Show us your dash is brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop local. Shop social. So a cool promotion we're doing here as we inch closer and closer to the start of the regular season. The next preseason game for the Nashville Predators is tomorrow night against the Carolina Hurricanes on the road in Raleigh. Pre-game coverage at 5:30. Puck drop shortly after 6 p.m. All the action heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And then the preseason finale is this Saturday afternoon with pregame at 2 and puck drop at 3. Again, all the action heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth, Hal Gill here with you. Hal, there seems to be kind of an elephant in the room conversation. Whenever somebody brings up the Nashville Predators, especially on these airwaves, everybody wants to start talking about the futures of Mattias Ekholm and Philip Forsberg. For the fans, it's kind of the elephant in the room when talking about this team at the start of this season. As a player, as someone who spent a lot of years in the NHL and would have seen either your own contract situation come up or a teammate's contract situation come up, is this ever an elephant in the room kind of scenario inside a locker room?
Yeah, it can be, and I've seen it. I've seen it go both ways, and I mean, it can go a lot of different ways. You know, the thing is, I think with both Phil and Mattias, I think they're happy here. They want to be a part of this. And so, you know, whether it gets done now or it doesn't get done and they go to free agency or you know, at the end, I think they want to be part of this right now. They want to make the playoffs and have a good run. That's always good for contracts. You know, like if you can on a contract year, if you can put up big numbers and win the Stanley Cup, that's the best thing you can do. So I think that's their goal. And I think they're happy here. Now, if it turns out they're not happy here or they feel slighted because they haven't been re-signed, then it can linger into the locker room and it gets talked about more and more. But I think, you know, the Preds are in a fortunate place where they have a passionate fan base, but not a fan base and a media base that's going to make this a huge thing every day. And that's when it gets, you know, if you're in Toronto, New York, Montreal, big markets where they just beat you over the head with it every day, then it becomes something that stands out. But I think in Nashville, as passionate as the fans are, they understand that, you know, these things will work out. It's not front and center in their mind. They want to go see Philip Forsberg play hockey and score goals. They're not necessarily worried about when are we going to trade him and how do we get rid of him to maximize our return, or is it going to be too much money to sign him? I think they just want to go out and see him play. And I think for both of those players, they really just want to play. And so that's a good recipe for everyone because, you know, the side fights and the arguments, those should be saved for the GM. David Poile is going to be talking to the agents. And I always said, if my agent is picking a fight, then, you know, there's something wrong. You know, I want my agent to go out and deal with business so I don't have to worry about it. And so I'm hoping that's the case right now, and we'll see how it plays out. But right now it looks good. So I'm really not worried about it. I do think those guys are part of the future of the Preds, and I think David Poile wants to get it done. It's just there's no rush to it, especially with a flat cap this year and so much going on and a competitive rebuild. You know, if the beginning of the season looks like, okay, we got a good team here, let's sign these guys and make a run, and maybe we'll sign someone else. We'll trade for someone else. We'll get some good players and make a run at it. If the season doesn't go all that well, then maybe they don't want to be part of a huge rebuild that the Preds would have to go through. And so they want to move on, and maybe, you know, David Poile can stock the shelves with what they could get with those players. But right now, I think everyone's happy, and you wait and see. And so that's where I'm at, and that's where I think, you know, the situation is at.
Ryan Porth and Hal Gill here with you. It's Preds Insiders. And Hal, I think there's kind of a common opinion amongst a lot of the media and a lot of the fan base that they feel more confident that Mattias Ekholm will be signed than Philip Forsberg. And Philip Forsberg made comments last week to Robbie Stanley of NHL.com and Robbie and Rex Road, which you can hear 6 to 10 a.m. weekdays here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can read Forsberg's comments at thegamenashville.com. And he's basically saying he doesn't have a rush to sign. He wants to play his contract out. He loves it here in Nashville and feels like the Predators have a good opportunity to make something great, but saying that it's also a business and he wants everything to be handled properly like that. I feel like some fans read those comments or heard those comments and thought that Forsberg wasn't wanting to like re-sign here long-term. And to me, Hal, it would be smart for Phil from a business perspective to let this season play out, because we all know he has the talent. a lot of it comes down to, in terms of the next contract that he's going to get, a lot of it comes down to proving that he can be a 35 or 40 goal scorer. And if he does do that this season, then from a business perspective, he's going to be he's going to be getting a bigger contract next offseason, whether it's with Nashville or another team. I feel like that's the approach Forsberg's taking, as opposed to this perception from some fans that he doesn't like it here.
Yeah, no, that's and that's what I mean. Like, fans are going to pick apart whatever you say, and if you're in a bigger media market, then you look, everyone's going to break it down and, okay, what did he mean by that? What did he mean when he said that? What did he mean? Yeah, in the end, it's all a gamble, right? And Philip Forsberg is betting on himself, ultimately. I'm sure the Preds, if Preds gave him $4 million a year for the next 6 years, Phil could say, I don't feel good about myself, so I'll just take it. I'll take the money and run. But Phil is saying, I'm going to go out there and play out this contract and show you what I'm all about. And I don't think Phil, his numbers haven't reflected the player that I think he could be. I think he's a better player than his numbers indicate. So I'm with Phil on that one. Go and prove yourself and play the game that you know you can. The pressure's on him because this is the last year of his deal. And whether the Preds sign him or they let him go and be a free agent, he's got to put up numbers. He's got to be a player that everyone wants for that, $7-8 million, whatever he's looking for. He's got to go out and prove it. And so that's the fun part. Now the Preds are saying, he might be asking for that 7-8, and the Preds might say, David will look at him in the eye and say, okay, go prove it. They're mm-hmm. right. I mean, go out in the first 2 weeks. If you put up your numbers and you put up big, let's talk about it. But right now there's no sense in rushing it, because both parties, I think, are probably far off. And you say, all right, let's not argue now. Let's see what kind of player I'm going to be and what I can deserve on the open market, and see if you're willing to match it.
Well, the tough position for David Poile in this is that obviously Poile wants Forsberg to be around long term. I think most Preds fans would agree with that.
Right.
You can't risk having what happened with Ryan Suter, with him walking away for nothing. In return, the Predators franchise is not in a position where you can allow Forsberg to walk away just for nothing if he's around for the full season and then negotiations don't go well next summer and then Forsberg walks. You get nothing for him when you could have gotten something for him before the deadline. So the tricky thing here for Poile is...
I would disagree with that.
Okay, though, why? Ryan. Why?
I would disagree with that, just in the fact that obviously... If you're going to cut bait on someone and you are, then you say, okay, let's trade this guy and we'll get what we can. But then at the same token, you're going to go out and try to sign, you're going to trade away prospects for a guy at the deadline so that you can get him in and make a run at the cup. That you make all these decisions. I don't think it's the end of the world to let a guy play out his contract and say, okay, good luck. I really don't think that's the end of the world. I think that's something that it's frowned upon by so many people, but I don't think that's a bad thing to do. You keep a guy around, give him a chance to finish out a season. If you want to sign, in the end, the salary cap is so important. So if Phil wants to go and get his $7-8 million, then, you say, okay, good luck. Go get it somewhere else, and thanks for your time here, and you move on. I don't think it's clear cut as trade a guy or sign a guy. I just don't think it's that easy. And so to have a guy play out his contract, I really don't think it's the end of the world.
But isn't it better for the Predators' future if they have an answer on that before the deadline?
Of course, but you also have to play out the season, and you have to do the best you can. And there's some negotiating time after the season that you might be able to sign him and you might be able to trade him after the season. And so, we've seen that a lot. It's like, will you trade this guy and come on over, and you'll get the rights and the ability to sign a guy for 8 years. There's a lot of different, you know, avenues you can take after you let a guy play for the full season. I just don't think there has to be a rush, and I hear it a lot. And I just, you know, I was in Pittsburgh. I played out my contract and I signed in Montreal after that. And, you know, it's just what you do. You go out and you play the game, and sometimes you get traded. Sometimes you go to a good team or you go to a bad team. But there's other times where you just play out your contract.
Well, and it's also important for people to know that if Forsberg does not sign a contract before the end of this season, doesn't mean that he's not going to re-sign here next offseason.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm sure Tampa Bay Lightning fans, what was it, 4 years ago maybe, Tampa Bay Lightning fans were freaking out that Steven Stamkos was going to market and that they would have lost him for nothing. And Stamkos re-signed with the Lightning on the first day of free agency. And that's obviously a business approach that he took, and he opted to go back to the Lightning. Now, the situations are different, but that's just one of many examples where that does happen. I just wonder how it would have happened 10 years prior to this current situation, if the Ryan Suter thing is in the back of Poyle's mind when trying to make that decision.
Yeah, I'm sure David Poyle has about 1,000 more stories. He's been around a long time, and he's gotten burnt, and he's been burned, and there's a lot of things that go through his head. So I'm sure he could, for every one you give him for one way to handle it, he's going to give you 10 examples of how it didn't work out the other way. And I think that's just the nature of the business. So I do think it's got to be played out, and you can't put it in a box and say, this is the situation, this is how it's going to play out, because it's always in flux. And, you know, we could look at it and say, you know, Philip Forsberg could go light it up, and I hope he does. And he's going to put the Preds under the gun to sign him for big money. And if they don't, he's going to walk and make big money somewhere else. If he has a bad start, maybe he signs a contract saying, I had a cruddy start, but then he gets the contract and feels good about it and goes out and plays great the rest of the season. There's so many different ways that you could look at it. It's just hard to put anything in a box right now.
This is Preds Insiders, Ryan Porth, Hal Gill here with you, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hal, the last thing that I want to get into is just kind of overall with this Nashville Predators team, feel like expectations are as low as they've been since probably the 2013-14 season, which was Barry Trotz's last season in Nashville. And that team didn't make the playoffs the year before in the lockout shortened season. They didn't make the playoffs that year in 13-14, and then Trotz was let go. Peter Laviolette brought in that offseason. I feel like the expectations going into this season, Hal, are as low as they were back then. And I wonder if that's going to be a good thing for this Predators team. I mean, you look at all the sports books, they're a distant seventh in terms of the odds for winning the Central Division. Their over-under for points is 83.5, and that is a very low number for a team that is typically within playoff contention at bare minimum. I wonder if the external expectations being as low as they've been in a long time will serve this team well, because I don't know how well they've done with high expectations here in the last few years.
Yeah, it's a total different feel, isn't it?
And
you know, I look at it, we talk about all these young guys that are coming in trying to make the best of the situation and try to make a team. And you look at those guys 2 years ago, like how different is their look at the Preds? You know, 2 years ago, they're coming into training camp going, yeah, well, there's the Joe line, then there's that line, and okay, look at the D. Yeah, there's Yossi, Ellis, Ekholm. It's like, okay, you go down the list of all these guys, there's no way I'm making this team. And right now you have an excitement that not only are guys looking at it saying, oh, I want to make this team, but they're also saying, I want to move up in the lineup and I have a chance. You know, I the biggest thing for me is I look at Trenton Sisson's Olivier, that the beast line, they're going to go out there and crash. And then, you know, Janot came in there and it's like, okay, well, we can't put four guys on the one line. So which one of those guys is going to move up the lineup? Because I think they've all shown that they can play. Is it Trenton? Does he move up? Does he become a second line guy. You know, like there's all that excitement that comes with a competitive rebuild and a lot of guys getting chances to play, and they're going to go out and there's going to be competition for jobs. And John Hines has talked about that since he got here. I think it was, you know, under Laviolette, everyone knew their position. John Hines came in and maybe they're not so sure. And then there's competition for positions. And now I think going into camp, there's competitions all over the place. Who's going to be our first line? And, you know, you look at Johansson played with Duchesne and Forsberg down in Tampa. And is that going to be a line? And if so, that leaves another center spot open, because Duchesne was and Johansson were kind of filling up those center spots at one and two. Does that open up another spot? And is it Cody Glass? Is it Nick Cousins? Is it Mikhail Granlund? Tomasino? All these guys in the Beast line are right there champing at the bit, because they were probably the most successful line last year, right? So
yeah.
Now you have that competition. And on the back end, it's the same thing. You know, it's the only one that doesn't really have the competition that we haven't seen before is for goaltender, where Saros is everyone's guy. So it's going to be a fun year, I think, because you're going to see a competitive team that is not just looking to win, but when they're out there, they're looking to move up in the lineup. And so I think that'll make it fun and it kind of different feel than the last 5 years.
Real quick before we get out of here, you mentioned Duchesne. Do you feel like if you were John Hines, would you start the season with Duchesne alongside Forsberg and Johansson?
It's an interesting thing. You need Johansson and Duchesne to get going.
Yep.
I mean, that's the bottom line. You cut $16 million down the middle. And so if they're not going, maybe put them on the same line and maybe they're not going together and they're not taking up two lines and ruining two lines. I hate to say that, but if you can put them together and they get a little chemistry, and I thought they did in Tampa, maybe you roll them together and let the competition continue for those other spots, for those other lines. And now you have, you know, one line that is you're hoping that comes around and let them develop together, because they are great players and they should put up numbers. Maybe you put them together and let them work it out together, and the other lines just go out and battle, and that's where you get your meat from, as those other three lines. So it'll be interesting. Big decisions for John Hines.
No doubt about it. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out here in the next 10 days before the regular season opener on October 14th at Bridgestone Arena against Seattle. Hal, always great to spend time with you here on Preds Insiders. Always appreciate it. And we look forward to you being on the call tomorrow night.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's going to be a fun season. Looking forward to it.
All right. For Hal Gill, I'm Ryan Poore. Thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of Preds Insiders. Again, the preseason finale on Saturday at home against Carolina. The next one up is tomorrow night in Carolina with the pregame coverage starting at 5:30 and the puck drop at 6. All the action heard right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll be back with you next Monday at 6 p.m. as we get ready for the start of the NHL season and the Predators season right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.